Right. So I don't know really how long this will necessarily take, but I don't think it's going to be particularly long. And I just wanted to share my heart really for a little bit. So it's a little bit different from perhaps what was like a more structured preach this morning. I just want to just kind of share, yeah, a few thoughts for you. I need to ask God to help me not to cry. I'm a bit of an emotional person at times. I said to someone the other day, I even cried when Harold Bishop died in Neighbours, so it can get a bit messy. So I'm asking God to help me not do it. I actually took the caravan back to the yard, and Tim came out to help me get the caravan back in and said, oh, did you have a good one event? And then the next 5 minutes, we're like, it was brilliant, I had so much happened. I think sort of Tim probably got about half of it, because the rest of it was coming through kind of tears and that. But, you know, yeah, just when God touches your emotions and does stuff, it's, you know, it's personal. And I realize that some of this, it will be personal. So it's not everything that's in it, but there's principle, I believe, that's in it, that God wants each one of us to take away tonight. It's really just stuff that I felt that the Lord has been showing me afresh. And so I just wanted to tell you a bit about what happened when we were at one event. And so we were in a meeting. I'd been in several previous meetings. One of the ones in which I'd been, or two of the ones in which I'd been, had really tremendous messages. And numbers of us had walked back to the caravans and things after those meetings, and been really inspired and stirred by the ministry that we've heard. We bought a couple of those DVDs home for us to be able to watch together as a church, because they were brilliant and really inspiring stuff. And on one of the evenings, I found myself in another meeting, and this chap got up to share, and he got up in a hoodie, with a baggy pair of jeans on and a pair of trainers. And being honest, you kind of think like it didn't necessarily fit the kind of what is. And I want to be really careful how I say stuff, but the kind of whether there's like sometimes like an image now that church has to look in a certain way, if you know what I mean, sort of fresh and hip and trendy. And I'm not being unkind, but you wouldn't have said that. And I don't think he was even that bothered about trying to look that way. But he got up there, and as he shared, for me, what began to came through was it was unpolished. It wasn't neatly presented or packaged, but it was just profound, simple truth. That's how I'd describe it. There was no kind of whiz to it or anything like that, production and or anything like that. It was just simple, profound truth. And I just felt it started to sort of hit me in the heart as I was coming under the sound of the Word of God. And for me, it began to become one of those ones where you're like hanging on every word. You know, I'm sure you've been in a meeting before where you're kind of the edge of your seat kind of stuff. You're just like, wow, this is really hitting home for me. And that was what was happening in that meeting. And he at the end of it, he made this appeal, and I just kind of had a sense in my spirit, I need to stay, because you have kids to pick up and you have other places that you know, you have to go get your children and stuff like that. And so often as a couple, you know, one of us will have to leave a little bit early and go and do that. And I just sort of thought, I need to stay here. And he had this appeal, and he just began to make an appeal about laying your life down afresh, just surrendering your life to Jesus. And I had this such a strong sense in my heart that I needed to just re-surrender and just afresh, just really offer my life to Jesus. And then as I looked around me on the rows on which I was sat, I was surrounded by a number of folks from here, from church. We were all together across, you know, a few rows in there. And the first voice that comes into my head is, if you walk up there and you're the pastor, what are they all going to think of you? Right? And that's the first voice that comes into my head in that moment in time. Now, the truth is that when we were talking with some of the people afterwards from church, we were just chatting, because I came back a bit affected from what God had done. Everyone was like, no. Even Stevie said to me tonight, actually, I was like blessed that I saw you go up. But in your head, that's the first thing the enemy does. He wants, because he wants to shut down whatever God wants to do, you know? And so the enemy comes and just says, look, if you go, you know, you're going to lose kind of respect everything like that, and people are going to think, oh gosh, his life's a mess, I don't want to listen to him, or anything like that. And so you're fighting that voice, and then after a little while, I just thought, I can't. I was twitching in my seat, you know, it's a bit like your gluteus seat, you're trying to get up and you can't get off, and I'm just like, I've got to go. And I went, and I remember just kneeling at the front, and as I was kneeling at the front, I felt God's presence around me. And then he began to talk about leaders who had fears. And then you're sort of going to yourself, oh no, now if I respond to that, everyone's going to think I'm a leader with fears, you know? And I have some struggles. And he just said, you know, I really feel you need to get prayer. So I got up and I walked to the back of church and just went to kind of keep worshiping. And God's like, no, you need prayer. And I'm like, I'll be all right. And God's like, no, you need prayer. And I'm like, no, it's good. And I'm like, this is going, no, you need prayer. And so I end up walking all the way around the back of the tent, going back round again and joining the queue and just getting prayed for. Now, when I got prayed for, it wasn't like I encountered God in that moment. It's just simple, just prayed a very simple prayer over me and just said, thank you. And I walked to the back of the meeting and just stayed there. And then as I stood in God's presence, I just worshipped him and just thought, I'm going to stay here. I need to stay here in God's presence. There's a key there. Come back to that in a moment. But I need to stay here because I believe God has got something for me. And then as I stood in God's presence, I felt God's just begin to meet with me. And for me, what I would honestly say is arguably the most significant encounter I personally feel I've had since 2007. Now, why do I say that? Because in 2007, I was in the States. There was a move of God that was going on in 2007. I had, up to this point, what I would have called, bar the day I gave my life to Jesus Christ, my most significant encounter with the Lord. The Lord done a lot in me and said a lot to me. And I've encountered God since then in ways and at levels, but this became so significant. And it's personal in a way, but there's principle that I want to bring through. So I'm standing in God's presence, and God speaks and communicates to us in different ways. Some people see pictures. Some people, you know, feel prompting. Some people feel they hear God's voice, whatever, however God leads you. God often seems to speak to me in pictorial ways. And I'm standing in God's presence, and all of a sudden, as I'm in God's presence, I hear this voice, and I just knew it was God because it was just so clear that it wasn't just like the usual kind of like, I see a picture and I say, God, what are you saying? I heard this voice, and God just says to me, I just feel Jesus just says to me this. God's just speaking to me, I'm like, listen to my voice, son. Listen to my voice. And this is coming to me, and I knew it's God because I begin to just kind of feel like I'm melting on the inside as I'm hearing it, and I'm worshiping Jesus. And as I hear that, just listen for my voice, listen for my voice, I suddenly feel like I see this scene of this like crammed out, packed marketplace. And there's all these people in this marketplace, and I'm kind of in this scene. And they're everywhere. And all I can hear Jesus is saying, listen to my voice, listen to my voice. And as I'm listening to his voice, I'm like pushing my way through this crowd of people. And it's like this desperation, this like urgency of looking for Jesus. And as I'm looking for Jesus, I hear him say this to me, find me. Find me. And so I hear, listen to my voice, and I'm searching, and I hear him say, find me. And as I hear him say that, God just really, wow, man, I just begin to just, I get this sense like I meet with Jesus in this moment, and I just feel God so powerfully as I'm worshiping. And you know when you're like, you're kind of laughing, and you're crying, and you're broken, and you're blessed, and the scene, they seem to go kind of hand in hand, and just feeling God's presence so much and standing there just thinking, oh my God, it's been so long since I've felt you like this. As I'm standing there in his presence, and I don't know, you may have never experienced this, but I don't believe God has favorites. I believe that it's for all of us. We're all his favorite, actually. I believe that he wants all of us to encounter him, and I believe it's accessible and open to us. It might be in a different way to this. It's not necessarily the same as me, but there's principles that I believe open the door to encounter. And so I'm encountering God in this moment, and I walk away from that place and kind of begin to go back to my caravan, and I'm crying as I'm walking through the campsite. I'm on my own at this point in time because the meeting had gone on, and a lot of people had had to go, and the meeting had gone on. But there was something about waiting around in God's presence that caused me to have an encounter with him. Just hanging around and just saying, I believe you're here and I want to find you. And this sense of find me was like Jesus was saying to me, like, in every area of your life, find me. When you come to worship, listen for my voice and find me. When you come to the Bible, listen to my voice and find me. When you come to pray, listen to my voice and find me. And I think I realize in my heart, God, how often I come into your presence and kind of go through the motions. And actually what you want me to do is listen to your voice and find you. Jesus wants to be found. He wants us to meet with him. He wants us to have this encounter with him. So I'm broken and I'm blessed. And I suddenly think to myself as I'm walking across, God, I've been here and I've come under the sound of what was really good messages and ministry. Man, I was blessed by those messages, and we'll hear some of them as a church, and I think you'll be blessed too. But you know, no matter how good a message is, there is nothing like a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. No matter how good a message can be, God just doesn't want us to walk away and go, wow, that was a great message, I'm blessed. God wants us to encounter him. God wants us to meet with him. God wants us to feel his presence. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is there to be found. I believe we can hear his voice, and I believe he's there to be found. And he's there to be found for us personally, to find him and to meet with him. But also he's there to be found when we're praying for others. And in that moment, God just quickly downloads a couple of words for me to give to a couple of people who I had opportunity, people I know who I then shared with them, and it gave me opportunity to pray for them. And it was like he was saying, even when you want to minister to people, even when you want to pray for people, listen to my voice. Find me. Find what I'm saying. There's so much stuff, isn't there, in life? So much that's going on all around the scene, all around the marketplace, all the distractions and busyness of life. And Jesus is just calling out, listen to my voice and find me. Push through the distractions. Push through the other stuff that want to take your attention and focus. There's the promises of Scripture, because this is the truth. Hebrews 11 verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. You must believe that he's there to be found. You must believe that he will reward you, and that you will meet him if you will seek him. That's the motivation, the inspiration, the encouragement to seek his face. That word seek there, sorry, that word reward there, it means it's one who pays. A rewarder is one who pays. I just want to say it pays to seek God. It pays to seek him, to press in to his presence. And that word seek, it means to seek out, to search for, to crave, and to demand. Actually means, if you look in the root word, it actually means to worship. It means to require and to seek after. Search for me. That's what he's saying. Search for me and you will find me. Crave me. Demand. That was this sense in my spirit of like, I don't want to go anywhere until I meet you, Jesus. Until I have an encounter. I needed an encounter. Anyone else like me ever feel a bit spiritually dry? I needed an encounter. I needed to feel his presence. I needed to feel his life. And it reminded me of being in Lakeland, because when I was in Lakeland in America, before me and Andrew went to the meeting, we actually literally said to each other, I ain't going home till I met with Jesus tonight. We were young guys. We drove to a meeting and we were so determined in that meeting that we were going to have an encounter with God. And so we went, and honestly, I worshipped with everything I had. Like, you know what I mean? There was a desire, there was an inner cry that was coming out of me. It was just like I was worshipping. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. You know, the Bible says it was like the all that was within me was just like, I've got to meet with you, Jesus. And in that moment, God gave me a vision when I was there. I still remember it now, of me going up a corridor, endless doors, and I was like pushing every door open. And it was a sense that Jesus was going to be behind one of the doors. And I was just like, I'm coming up this corridor. I'm pushing through every door till I find where you are, Jesus. I meet with you. And as I'm walking back to Caravan, it's like God suddenly just dawns on me. This is what you said to me in 2007. You said to me then, listen. You said to me then, seek me. You said to me then, find me. So I want us to believe tonight that if we'll seek out, search for, crave, demand, not in a like a do you know who I am, but in a sense of like, I don't want to go, Lord, unless I meet with you. And if we'll worship, we'll require and seek after his presence. He is there to be found. This is entirely possible. This is not exclusive. This is not just for me. This is accessible for us this evening. James 4 verse 8, doesn't it? It says, draw near to God. Can you finish it with me this evening? And he will draw near to you. You know, you must have heard me say that before, but every time I read that verse, I have that image of Martin. Just stand opposite me if you would. Every time I read that verse, it's like there's the initial response there is upon us. And it's like, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So take a step. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God and he will draw. At some point, a moment of encounter comes. You know, as we press in, at some point we're going to meet with him. We're going to experience him. And if you've got a Bible, just go with me just quickly. That's the first page of the notes done. There's only two, so I said we wouldn't be long. But Matthew chapter 7, this is the scripture God gives me in the midst of all that he's saying to me as this is going on. Matthew 7, verse 7 to 12. It's so well known. 7 to 11, sorry. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? To those, or Luke 11, is it? Says, he'll give us the Holy Spirit. Give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Friends, when I read that, there are four verses packed with promise and potential. Four verses packed with promise and potential. There's so much motivation, encouragement, and inspiration in those four verses to ask, because if you ask, it's going to be given. To seek, and because you're going to find. To knock, and the door is going to be opened. You're going to receive, it says there. The one who asks is going to receive. The one who seeks is going to find. And the one who knocks is going to see the door opened. One commentary I read said this. The point seems to be that it doesn't matter whether you find God immediately close at hand, that's ask. You know, someone has to be close enough to just ask. Doesn't matter whether you find God immediately close at hand, ask. Or hard to see, that's seek. Or even with barriers between, that's why you knock. He will hear. He is there to be found. He will answer. And he will give you good things because you looked to him. Because you looked to him. So no matter where you are tonight in your relationship with God, I believe he's there to be found. I think we all go through seasons in our life when the seasons in our life where we feel like God is close. It's just like, I'm just asking him. The seasons in our life where we feel like God is a little bit more distant. And so you feel like you're having to really kind of try and seek him to find him. And the seasons in our life, because I don't feel like I'm the only one, when it feels like there's barriers between you and Jesus. Anyone else ever been there? The old phrase about the heavens seem like brass. You know what I mean? And it feels like there's something there. And Jesus is saying there, we mustn't give up. Whether we feel he's close, whether we feel he's a little bit distant, whether we feel there's barriers, Jesus is saying, be encouraged in these four verses. I am there to be found. So if you want an encounter with God, There are just three keys I felt that has been highlighted to me in there. Three simple keys that have been highlighted that what God showed me really right there at one event. Number one, I've got to ask. I told you it's going to be basic. Number one, I've got to ask. In other words, it means this. I must engage my mouth. I know that sounds so simply, but I need to verbalize my desire. I need to let him know. Now, sadly, sometimes we equate volume with power. I don't necessarily think that that's the case. It doesn't mean you've got to be a big shouter. It don't mean you've got to have a loud voice. I know I have. If I'm in a room, I know people hear me. But it doesn't mean that you're more spiritual if you're just louder. But it does mean at whatever level, we need to engage our mouth and express our desire that we want to find him. We want to receive from him. So we want to bring our mouth into that. And so that was what, as I was worshiping, I was just saying, I want to meet with you, Jesus. I want to meet with you, Jesus. And so I'm just expressing that desire. So I must ask. I've got to engage and verbalize my desire. Second thing is, you know what the second point is going to be, don't you? I've got to seek. I've got to position my heart and my mind. When I'm searching for something, if you're in a true search for something, you've got to stay engaged. You've got to stay focused, haven't you? You've got to stay switched on. You know, if you've lost something or lost someone, you don't kind of dip in and out of the search to be effective. You've got to stay on it. You've got to stay engaged in that moment, focused in the objective and what it is you want to achieve, what the goal is. And so I've got to stay engaged. When I want to focus on encounter Jesus, I've got to stay engaged. This has been a big, 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 big key for me, because I find sometimes I can switch off. I find sometimes I can be in and out. I find sometimes I can get distracted. Oh, what's that on that wall? Oh, I should have painted that. Do you know what I mean? Oh, look at that. Yeah. And, oh, it's that other job I've got to do as well. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, like, oh, I've got to pick the kids up later. You know, oh, my soul. It's hard, isn't it? You know, and yet, in these moments, what I was able to just, not like I'm, well, look at me. I was somehow able to just come to a place where I was just like, I just want focus on the one goal. That's Jesus Christ. And so I've got to stay engaged. I've got to stay focused. I've got to stay switched on. The Bible tells us to seek God himself. So here's a few psalms for you. We'll dart around in our Bibles just quickly. In fact, has anyone got a Bible with them, one of these, or on their phone, you know? Either way, can I just give three psalms out and just get you to read them out? Just throw a hand up if you're going to find Psalm 27, verse 8 for me. Who's claiming Psalm 27, verse 8? Gone. Okay, that's done. Psalm 105, verse 4. So Luke's on that. Oh, yeah, Dawn just volunteered him. And Di, can you find Psalm 119 and verse 2? Okay, Psalm 27, 8, 105, 4, 119, 2. And can I give somebody else Proverbs 8, verse 17? Just give me a wave if you're happy to take Proverbs 8, verse 17, and I will give that scripture away. Wendy, you happy to do that? Awesome. Okay, so let's go. Psalm 27, verse 8 says this. Psalm 105, verse 4. And Psalm 119, verse 2. And seek him with all their heart. I'm engaging fully in this moment, in my worship, bringing everything I am to focus on seeking Jesus. And sometimes you read Matthew 7, you think it's like, it seems to be like Jesus is hiding. I don't believe it's to frustrate us. I believe his desire actually is for us to look for him. Because when you know, if you love him, it's that sense of like, you're going to look for me, you're going to search for me. He's there to be found. He's not teasing us because he's saying, hey, I'm here to be found. If you ask, you're going to receive, you're going to look, you're going to find, you're going to knock, you're going to get the answer. Proverbs 8 verse 17 says this. Okay, promises. That seeking is just a sign of desire and love. Okay, and lastly, number three, I got a knock. I got a knock. Andy, do you want to just come back to the keyboard, please, if that's all right? This is, I've engaged my mouth, I've asked, I've positioned my heart, I've brought everything I am, I'm engaged in this moment, I'm switched on in my desire for Jesus Christ, I'm focusing on him. I want every distraction to go. I want to seek his face. And the third thing is, I've got to knock. This to me speaks of action. This now speaks of action. It speaks of physical movement. It speaks of action. And as I knelt, then as I went for prayer, in neither of those moments was that when I had my power encounter, but I believe it led to a moment when I encountered Jesus. As I went to the back of the room and I began to worship him, I just heard these words, and I think this is what Matthew 7 teaches us. Response opens the door to encounter. That's what I felt. Response opens the door to encounter. So that's what that knock is. It's like I'm responding, I'm moving, I'm doing something here now, and it opens the door. Knock and the door will be opened. Response opens the door to encounter. And I feel like, God, I've heard so many great messages down the years. I've come under the sound of some wonderful preaching. And like the Lord's just saying to me, you have, but you need to learn to respond to what it is you're hearing more. Because actually we can, I don't say this because I'm part of the ministry team, I think the preaching's okay, pretty good. And you know, here, I don't want to kind of go too far because you might think I'm being a big head, but I think, and I'm just part of a team, I don't think we struggle for the word of God here. But actually, I think what Jesus is wanting from us is a response to what it is that we're hearing. And I felt that in my own personal life. I need to respond more to what this is when I hear it. I actually need to do something with it. And in that moment, you know, be it like whatever it might be, I need to actually respond, because response opens the door to encounter. Desire produces response. You know, John 14, I mentioned this morning, Jesus talking about if you love him, you'll obey, you'll do the things that he asks you to do. And he goes on in the Amplified versions to say, he says, I will reveal myself and I will manifest myself to that person who does what I ask them to do. And so when we feel God is prompting us, you might feel God's prompts you tonight, there's a response that is, we make that response to him, it opens the door to revelation and it opens the door to manifestation. And manifestation is just simply like, well, really, it's like Jesus just turns up in a powerful way. And in that moment at the back of that meeting, Jesus just turned up and it was like revelation and manifestation that had come out of a response to what God was saying. And so God's the best father there is. Why don't we stand to our feet? God is the very best father that there is. He's passionate about the good of his children. He wants the best for us. He says that there. You know, if you want the best for your kids and you're just an earthly parent this morning, you want the very best for your children. He says, like, the heavenly Father is so much better. He wants the very best for us. And he wants us to find him. He wants us to seek him. He wants us to ask for him. He's there. He's there to be found. He wants to give us, as Luke 11 says, he wants to give us the Holy Spirit. And that's the inspiration this evening. He's not teasing me. He's making something accessible. And there's a promise, and there's something that I can enter into if I will ask and seek and knock. And the best thing is to encounter God. And I needed to encounter him. And it's just kind of whet my appetite. And I honestly believe, you kind of think, you know, sometimes people say this, I honestly believe with all my heart, when you encounter the presence of Jesus, it changes you. I know that something has changed in me this week as a result of that encounter. I know that as I've come home and I've spent my time with Jesus, something has shifted and something has changed and something has opened up because of an encounter with Jesus. And, you know, as we close tonight, we're just going to worship him. And I think that we're just not meant to rush sometimes. We rush, rush, rush. And Stuart Belder said, you know, he just said, I want to thank you for lingering. Just hanging around in the presence of God, and God just coming in that moment. It's another song. I just desire you. I just want to be here. I don't want to go until I meet with you. He said, talked about Joshua. He said, you know, Joshua, when Moses had to leave the tent, Joshua just stayed in. He was the last one to switch the lights off. He was just hungry for the presence of God. And wow, look at what God done in Joshua's life. You know, so may we just be inspired this evening. So we're just going to worship.